You're listening to the PT and the Give Dog podcast, episode 33. Today we're talking NBA as the crazy offseason continues. Let's do this. All right, this is our second episode of Give Dog on the road, where we try to use this podcast to accompany Mike on his drive back. How are the Massachusetts highways on this fine Thursday evening?
A little slow here on Storrow Drive. To get on 93 to get to Route 1 and then up to 95. So I'm really getting my miles in here on the highways of Massachusetts. So,
but hey,
it's all good. I can't complain. No complaining.
No complaints. Well, it's been a crazy week. So we last spoke a week ago before the Red Sox game, and it feels like the NBA has just continued to intensify in the last week. So Marcus Smart re-signing with the Celtics, obviously we care a lot about that. We've spent a lot of time the last four podcasts talking about that. The Kawhi-DeMar DeRozan trade that hit, was it yesterday?
Yesterday?
Jesus, it's been a crazy couple of days. And then Melo kind of just breaking, getting traded to Atlanta, where he will be released and then likely going over to Houston. So lots to discuss. And as always, the NBA is taking over the entire offseason. And it is absolutely a 12-month sport these days.
It has. It overshadowed everything in Major League Baseball this week. It was this time of year is supposed to be the time that the world is focused on Major League Baseball, particularly this week with the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby and all that. And I despite one of the biggest stars in Major League Baseball switching teams, and that was the talk that the All-Star game was the last time you're going to see Manny Machado in a Baltimore Orioles uniform, now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, sure, yeah, people are talking about it, but it's not getting the publicity. The people aren't talking about it like they're talking about the Kawhi Leonard deal. Not talking about it at all here in this town. I mean, it should, you know, Red Sox fans should be ecstatic that Manny Machado's out of the AL East, at least for now. We'll wait and see what happens this offseason. Yeah. But now the focus is on Marcus Smart now coming back in the fold with the Celtics with the word of this new four-year deal. So, the NBA continues to rule the roost here. And it's again, this won't be the last thing. Something else is going to happen between now and when training camp gets it going. You know it will. So
yeah, the Kyrie thing last year was like late August, and that was still heating up there. So I mean the Red Sox are 68-30, which is ludicrous, on pace for 112 wins. It's really generational. 15 years ago, that would have been every single headline and all that everyone was talking about, and now it's kind of on the back page. Interesting, nonetheless. But on that point, let's talk NBA. Let's talk Marcus Smart, something that we've spent the last four podcasts talking about. He resigns 4 years, $52 million. Give me your reaction.
Again, something we both thought was going to happen. Did they give him too much money? Yeah, maybe. Did they bid against themselves a little bit? Yeah, was the only thing out there that we heard reporting, the 6.1 or whatever it was, qualifying offer? Yes, it was. But I think at the end of the day, Marcus Smart didn't want to go anywhere other than Boston, given what his options were at this stage in the game. And we talked about, maybe Dallas was a team that'd be interested in. Maybe he would have been interested in Dallas because that was his hometown. He'd be going home, being able to play closer to his mother with everything she's going through with her fight with cancer. A team like Denver that you mentioned is a good spot for him with that roster. He would have been a great fit with that roster. Of course, Isaiah Thomas now coming in the fold there kind of takes one of those point guard spots away. No need for Marcus Smart in Denver. Indiana Pacers, who I mentioned, that would have been a good spot for him, I think. The basketball fit was there. It was a team that was a playoff team in the East. He would have made them better, but they chose to spend their money on Tyreke Evans, which I think will make the Pacers better. And then they gave, $7 million to Doug McDermott. So that takes Marcus Smart out of the fold as an option. So he wasn't going to go to Sacramento. I don't think he was going to be he wouldn't have been happy there for 4 years, locking himself into a losing situation almost certainly. The Atlanta Hawks aren't going to spend you know, they have cap space, but they're not going to spend $13 million a year on Marcus Smart, nor do I think Marcus Smart would want to go there either. The only one of the teams that, you know, wasn't, you know, a winning situation, Brooklyn. Yeah, Brooklyn. Yeah. But, I mean, Brooklyn's not going to win. And, I mean, the most I think they could offer him right now as the roster was constituted was $10 million a year. So I don't think that's the direction he wanted to go in either. So he wanted to come back here. The Celtics wanted him back. From a business standpoint, the Celtics probably overpaid, but you're locking him in for 4 years now, and you're keeping him away from unrestricted free agency a year from now when teams have more money to throw around.
Agreed, agreed. And let's talk about how much they paid him briefly. This is the first time I'm trying to do this. Let's go back into the PT and the Gib Dog archives. Let's go back to episode 29. I think that was when we were together at Reunion.
Yes.
We had a discussion of his potential value, and I'm going to play the clip right now.
Free agent, probably going to get between 10 and 14 million, I think, per year, 4 years. I think it's on the lower end. You think it's on maybe the higher end?
I say 12 to 14.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 10 to 12, what we're going to see. We're on records.
I think anywhere in that 10 to 14, they bring him back.
So that's a Gib Dog 1, PT 0 on the Marcus Smart deal valuation. So good job by you on that one.
I'm way better at predicting money than I am at picking destinations.
That is true. That is true. But no, I think you're absolutely right. Could the Celtics have brought him back for $6.1 million? Yes. What are the negative implications if that happens? Well, let's see. Marcus is coming back and he's not exactly super happy. He told Jackie Mack right after the elimination that he thought he was worth well more than 12 to 14 million. So even getting 13, maybe it's a little step back from what he wanted. Celtics overpaid a little. Maybe it's a meeting in the middle. So I think that's preferred to either Smart coming back feeling hurt and not wanted, or from the Celtics' perspective, what if Smart learns how to shoot this offseason? He shot 30% on threes this season. What if that goes up to 36, 37, 38%, right around that league average? Then the value he brings is even greater. You almost look at the three-point shooting as a bonus, given what he does on the defensive end of the floor. And then, you know, 2019, there's more money out there. Maybe you're having to pay $56 million. Maybe you're having to pay him $60 million. Maybe there's other teams out there. He's no longer restricted, so you don't have the right to match. And if there's this ill will, then that's potentially an issue. And then just from a roster construction perspective, if you have Rozier, Smart, and Kyrie all hitting the same time, I understand Rozier would have been restricted, but that's kind of terrifying. And I think Ainge and the rest of the front office has done a great job building this team. You know, in the end, I think it's a good deal. It gives the Celtics also a mid-tier contract, a $13 million value. And I think we talked about this one of the last episodes. They had no one in that $7 million to $20 million range. So having a couple contracts there, there's some flexibility. I don't want to talk about trading Marcus Smart the day they signed him, but you know, he's a could potentially be a valuable asset in a trade as well. And you know, Danny's always looking for flexibility on trades too. So overall, I'm happy. He's a fun player to root for. Super frustrating at times when he's shooting threes. My hope is that when you have Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the floor, Smart is going to recognize that even if he has an open three, it might not be the best shot. And if he's moving the ball, getting back on defense, doing all the hustle plays that maybe don't show up in the box score, I think that's a really good thing for the Celtics.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, he's the type of player you need on this team, given what you just said about all those other players that are going to play a big part and play big minutes on this roster next year. And what you said about if he can improve his shooting percentages from behind the arc, that'll make him even more valuable in this group. Because who's the focus going to be for our Celtic opponents defensively when he's out there on the floor with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and one of either Brown or Tatum and Al Horford? I mean, he's going to be the last person teams are going to worry about offensively. So if he can up those numbers in any fashion, mm-hmm. not even saying go from high 20s, 30 to 36, 38, even 34, 35.
Yeah.
If he can just become a somewhat reliable three-point shooter, I mean, the drive and kick, you know, potential for him when people are just going to collapse on Kyrie. You know, he's just going to be what he can give at the defensive end of the floor. I mean, it's going to be a very valuable. You may even see this guy. I know this sounds crazy. You talk about the Celtics starting five of Irving, Hayward, Brown, Tatum, and Horford. You know, that's what we expect to be the lineup opening night, whenever it is, whoever they're playing. There are going to be nights that Marcus Smart is closing with four of those five guys. And then probably more often than not,
Tatum.
He'll be playing. You know, people say some people argue that that's a lot of money for a guy in the bench who's not going to play a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter. I'm not so sure I'm buying that. He closed a lot of games for us. We don't get that far in the playoffs last year without Marcus Smart. I know there was no Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward to take any of those minutes, you know, in the fourth quarter. But Marcus Smart's going to be playing a lot of fourth quarter minutes. I don't buy it as just a bench piece. He's going to be a closing piece for this team a lot, and particularly when it comes to the playoffs. And then particularly if they do end up in a matchup with Golden State, they need him to guard Steph Curry or Kevin Durant, even probably more so Steph Curry. He's going to be playing a lot of closing minutes.
Yeah, because you think about that team, right? Like Irving, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, all those four can score, and Horford, of course. So can you spell Tatum at the end of the game? Can you spell Brown potentially? Right? Like let's see how those two develop. And I think more importantly, we saw firsthand the importance of depth with injuries and things like that. Six-man is super important in the NBA these days, and to have someone like Smart, in addition to Morris, in addition to Rozier, Baines, we learned this year you need those bench folks to come in and play. So definitely a good addition to the 2018-2019 Celtics. And actually, here's an interesting thing to think about. So we signed him for 4 years. Do you think Marcus Smart is a Celtic at the end of that contract, or do you think he is traded before then?
You're going to have to ask me that question again, I think, at the end of this season, once 2019 free agency hits. I need to know if Kyrie Irving is going to be a part of this team moving forward. If Kyrie Irving is a part of this team moving forward, then yes, I think he is, because you've got your perfect backup to Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart, and someone that could even play with Kyrie if need be, which we've been talking about. If Kyrie Irving is to walk, and then you have to think about adding someone else, adding another piece, another all-star caliber type person. And that's where a Marcus Smart and his contract comes into play. If Kyrie Irving re-ups with the Celtics a year from now, I think Marcus Smart's here for the duration of that 4-year contract. If he doesn't, the year after that, yeah, he's probably still around. It's him and Terry Rozier man in the backcourt, but it's not a sure thing. After that, I don't think, because they could, like you said, they could need that tradable contract, and a tradable contract and a guy who is well worth every penny that he's making.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And again, how many of these max guys are the Celtics going to have? Horford for the next, at least for one more year. Hayward for at least two more years. Hopefully Kyrie for another 3 or 4 years. I think the interesting part about Anthony Davis, who's the big name that keeps getting mentioned in these trades, and you may have heard this as well, but the fact that Cleveland signed Kyrie to an extension using the Rose Rule means that we cannot have Davis and Irving on the same team on the current contracts that they're on. So all this talk about the Celtics trading for Davis, unless Irving's in the deal, we cannot do that until Kyrie signs his extension, which will not be until the end of the season, just because he wants to tap into the additional dollars that he would be owed for another year of service and with the cap increasing. So I doubt we would trade Irving unless he said he was leaving in this Kawhi type fashion. So I don't think you're seeing Anthony Davis on the Celtics until next offseason at the absolute earliest. And a lot's going to depend on how New Orleans plays and, we'll see what happens within the smoothie. Was it the Smoothie King Center or wherever the hell they play?
Yes.
We'll see how
King Center. Yeah.
We'll see how that goes down.
Yeah, maybe we need to make some trips to New Orleans. Maybe take a trip to visit Bourbon Street and go to a couple Pelicans games and our Celtics stuff and try to recruit Anthony Davis to want to come to Boston. I don't know.
Is this another Celtic pride plot?
It is another similar. Nah, that's not kidnapping. I said recruit.
Okay, just checking.
But yeah, I'm not including Kyrie Irving in a deal for Davis because I want him and Anthony Davis to play together if Anthony Davis is going to come to Boston. So but that's in a situation where you ultimately could trade for Davis. That's where a Marcus Smart and Marcus Smart contract at $13 million a year comes into play because he would almost certainly be one of the players going back to match both the salary, and it would give New Orleans a nice backup point guard to build their future with, which it would obviously be a total rebuild if Anthony Davis was coming this way.
Yep. So we'll see. That should probably conclude the Celtics offseason. I guess the one outstanding question that we'll spend 10 seconds on is Jabari Bird, and if anyone outside of the Celtics extends him an offer. Otherwise, I expect him back as a restricted free agent. I think he did pretty well in the summer league, and I would love to have him as the 15th man. But again, that's pretty deep down the roster construction. I don't really see anything else happening with the Celtics this offseason, unless there's anything else on your mind.
Yeah, I think they only have one remaining roster spot, right? There's only one of the 15. And if they sign Bird, then that's it. That's him.
Well, I'm always a fan of more Birds than the Celtics, personally. But
right, yeah, no, I think it will be. I think he will be the final, roster spot. One could open up. I really don't see the need. We talked about this last time, and let's not spend the whole podcast talking about Abdel Nader. But I don't see the need for Abdel Nader on this team, especially with our plethora of wing players. And then Semi Ojeleye is certainly ahead of him. Semi Ojeleye isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
So if they felt the need to, open up a roster spot to add depth at another position, then Nader's the one to go. But again, we're talking about the 13th, 14th, and 15th spots on the roster.
Yep, exactly. All right, well, going from the Celtics, who finished, I believe, number two in the Atlantic Division this past year, to the defending Atlantic Division champions, the Toronto Raptors, who may have gotten better. May have not gotten better, depending on your opinion. Traded their best player, DeMar DeRozan, to the Spurs. In addition to, I think it's Jakob Poeltl, I think is how you pronounce it, in terms of their bench mob center, for Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green. There's also a pick going to the Spurs as well, probably in the 20s if it's the Raptors pick. I guess when you heard this trade go down yesterday morning, what were your initial reactions hearing it and hearing both what the Spurs got and what the Raptors got?
First of all, J-A-C-O-B or J-A-K-O-B, however he spells it, that's pronounced Jacob, not Jakob.
It's Jakob. I promise you it's Jakob.
And I know. And in no world is the name P-O-E-H-T-L, which is, I believe, how you spell the last name. Where do you get Poeltl out of that? There's no R. And Jakob Poeltl, that's what I used to call him before I, because that's what the name sounds like. Anyway.
Go to Vienna and maybe you'll have an undertaking of, keep going.
I mean, as far as the East goes, when healthy, did the Raptors get the best player in the deal? Yes, they did. And I know that's supposed to be a lot of times the how you judge a deal. Who got the best player in the deal? Yes, I guess in this case it's the Raptors, but there's so many question marks about Kawhi's health. Not really a question mark about whether he wants to be there. I mean, there is a connection from the past. Mike Budenholzer, the new head coach of the Raptors, a former assistant of Greg Popovich and the Spurs. Who knows if there's a past relationship there? Doesn't know if it's much of a substantial relationship or a good one or enough to convince Kawhi to stay. I'm really not so sure. All the reports you're hearing is that he's not ecstatic about going to Toronto.
No.
All this talk about does he report and hold? He can't do that. He can't not play 2 years in a row if he wants to try to.
It is prime.
He has to play. He has to play this year, whether he's unhappy there or not. you know, to try to get his next deal. I mean, or at least to get the most out of his next deal possible. The Raptors, I'm not so sure they got better. You know, are they better than the Celtics even with Leonard? No, I don't think so.
No.
Because their depth at big man just went down. After Valanciunas, I mean, I know they have the Anunoby guy, if I'm saying his name correctly.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
Yeah, I know they have him, but Poeltl played a big, you know, role for them off the bench, you know, behind Valanciunas. And with Valanciunas' injury history, you know, a little bit of the insurance on the front court for the Raptors went away. And you just traded DeMar DeRozan, who is one of the better regular season, you know, shooting guards, you know, in the league. You know, torch the Celtics, man. I'm glad to not have to see him four times a year. Only have to see him twice. You know, Celtics could never find an answer for him. This year's Celtics, last year's Celtics, 2 years ago. It'll be interesting to see if it's still the same chemistry up there in Toronto. For San Antonio, Greg Popovich shipping Kawhi off to Canada and getting a guy who was voted an NBA All-Star starter last year. And a first round pick. You got that for a guy who all but told you he was going to walk away at the end of this year and was essentially holding a gun to your head. The Spurs, you look at it that way, the Spurs win the deal. I know they didn't get quote unquote the best player in the deal, but I think you got to give the Spurs the win in this one.
Yeah. It will be interesting. I think it's a Hail Mary for the Raptors.
Huge.
I mean, I think, you know, but by the way, do you know Kyle Lowry's 32? I forgot that he was kind of our age.
I didn't realize he was that old either. No. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not good. the Raptors are throwing up a Hail Mary. I guess they're counting on the Celtics or the Sixers not regressing in some ways and them having a chance to maybe swoop in and take the Eastern Conference. Otherwise, this team you have to kind of blow it up, and I understand why they did it. It's harder to blow up a DeRozan Lowry core when you have OG and Abui. I pronounced that even very wrong. I'm gonna keep going. Van Vliet and the rest of the bench mob type guys. I think with the Kawhi trade, at the very least, you do everything you can to keep Kawhi. Maybe there's a Paul George situation and he leaves, but if he does leave, at least then you can. You're off DeRozan's contract. You could probably ship Lowry somewhere, and you rebuild around some of the recent guys that they picked, and you kind of start from scratch from that perspective. So kind of a 1 year Hail Mary, and hey, maybe there's a chance that Kawhi comes back. We'll see. The one thing I will say about the Spurs, I think that it's interesting they went in the direction of DeRozan. I wonder if OG Anunoby, I don't know why I keep trapping myself into saying a last name I cannot pronounce. I wonder if he was just off the table and the Raptors just refused to trade him, because that might have been an interesting person for them to kind of build around. And I think what you're hearing is that Popovich only has so much time left. Maybe he's not thinking 10 years into the future. He doesn't want to go out rebuilding. He wants to try to reload as effective as you can. I don't know. I just see a ceiling for a DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge-led team. Like, that team's winning, what, like 48, 49 games? Probably the six or seven seed.
I think they might be higher than that. That was going to be my question to you. We played this game with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Where do the LeBron Lakers as constituted sit in the conference? We'll play this game with the Thunder. We've already talked about a little bit. I think San Antonio is more towards that mid, you know, a 4 or 5, maybe. I mean, you think about the roster. You got DeMar DeRozan, Patty Mills, Pau Gasol, LaMarcus Aldridge. Who else they got on that team?
Murray.
Bellinelli. Murray. Marco Bellinelli, who I talked about how glad I
game
was
changer.
Out of the East and no longer... I talked about how we felt Philadelphia as constituted is worse because they lost Bellinelli. I was happy to see Bellinelli and Ilyasova leave. They were a big part of the run that the Sixers had there at the end of the regular season. If they had a whole training camp together and come back next year, they would have been, you know, they showed they were a good fit with that Sixers team. So yep. a good player back where he kind of really got his first good years in the NBA started, Bellinelli back in San Antonio. So, yeah, I think that San Antonio roster with Greg Popovich, pulling the strings, I think that is at least a middle-of-the-pack team in the Western Conference.
Yeah. You also still get Ginobili, Jakob Poeltl. I just wanted to pronounce that one correctly again. Lonnie Walker IV was a kid they drafted who looks pretty good. So, who knows? I don't know. I feel like there's a big ceiling. I mean, that team, I don't know. I feel like there's a ceiling on it. We'll see. Maybe Popovich can coach DeRozan to play defense and hit threes. And I wouldn't discount Danny Green leaving and going to the Raptors, too. I think he was getting paid $10 million, which isn't cheap, but certainly part of the culture there. So we'll see. But at the very least, it ends the Kawhi saga. I know we're both happy he did not come to Boston. I'm happy we helped firm. I like the team that we have. I'm also happy he did not go to the Sixers. Yes, he came to our division, but I'm not too concerned. So that's Kawhi DeRozan. Last trade today that we'll talk about, Carmelo Anthony traded to Atlanta for Dennis Schroeder. I think there's some other stuff in there. I think the Hawks are also getting a protected 2022 first-round pick or something like that. Hawks are going to cut Melo. Melo's going to go to Houston. So I guess there's three teams to talk about here. OKC, Houston, and the god-awful Atlanta Hawks.
So Atlanta, again, just blown it all up, starting all from scratch, as we expected, which all of the talk was, that's what they're, it's going to be the Trae Young show down there, and they're probably going to win about 11 games this year.
Jeremy Lin, right after our podcast. I mentioned him last time.
Jeremy Lin. I know, I keep forgetting. Poor Jeremy Lin. Can't catch a break. They just keep pushing him off to a new team every year, and the team's never any good. Dennis Schroeder going to OKC. I dubbed him Fake Rondo back a couple years ago, and the Celtics were playing the Hawks.
Yeah.
In the first round of the playoffs, and putting him down like that, calling him Fake Rondo when the Hawks actually won that series in six. Looking back on it, probably wasn't the smart thing to do. But I call him Fake Rondo because he kind of plays like Rondo. He reminds you of Rondo when he's out there on the floor. He's even built like Rondo a little bit.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it. If you put Rajon Rondo on the Thunder with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, would it be an exciting team to watch? I say, heck yeah. Very interesting to see Westbrook and, Rondo coexisting. But it makes the Thunder a little bit more interesting, I feel. Again, another team that I think is definitely a middle-of-the-pack team in the West. Probably my pick if I had to pick the three seed in the West. So I think, that you wouldn't think – you never thought you'd see the day where you'd say trading – swapping out Carmelo Anthony for Dennis Schroeder would make you a better team. I think the Thunder got better in this deal. And obviously it opens up a situation for Melo to have a chance to go join up with the Rockets. And I just – even adding him to the full end, see the Rockets have a year this year that they did last year. You basically replaced two guys on the wing in Luke Bamute and Trevor Ariza. Got wings that can play defense, and you replaced them with an aging Melo who can't play defense.
Yeah, I don't know if I love that. At least they don't have to pay him anything, so they could always get rid of him if they need to. Quickly on OKC, I think that the big factor is also, I think they save $100 million. On luxury tax, they no longer have to pay because of trading Melo instead of having to just release him or stretch his contract over the next 3 years and cut him. So I think that's beneficial to them. Yeah, it's an interesting team. I mean, I think the four starters, at the very least, you have Westbrook, Roberson, if he's healthy, Paul George, Steven Adams, and then a lot of different movable parts you could put in there. I think they signed Jeremy Grant to 3 years, $27 million deal. I think they liked him last year. You have Schroeder. You still have Patrick Patterson. They like this Terrence Ferguson kid. They took a flyer on Nerlens Noel, who people remember that the Mavericks offered him, a four-year, $80 million contract a year ago? That was not a smart decision for him not to take that. So it's an interesting mix. Here's a fun stat for you. There were seven. This is about Dennis Schroeder's 3-point shooting. There were actually seven guys worse than Marcus Smart's 30% shooting on threes last year. And I revile Smart and his 3-point shooting. He apparently hit 30% of them somehow, some way. I'm gonna give you the list real quick. So the worst shooter in the league last year, 26% on threes, Josh Jackson. We're gonna forgive him because he's a rookie and he was on the Suns.
Remember when people wanted the Celtics to take him over Jason Tatum? I just always loved his flip back.
Meanwhile, Tatum shot 41%. So good trade there. Stanley Johnson was bad. I have nothing really to say about him. Lance Stevenson, hello LeBron, have fun with that. Dennis Schroeder, fourth worst 3-point shooter in the league last year, and it was kind of similar to his career average, so it wasn't necessarily a terrible year. Isaiah Thomas was toward the bottom. I think he was hurt, so we'll give him that.
Yep. Well, he's definitely hurt.
Yep. Marquise Chris, again, he's a Sun, so we'll throw him out. And then actually Russell Westbrook, 29.8% on threes. I was shocked to see that. I thought he was league average, and then I took a look and his career is actually 31%. So not a great 3-point shooter. And then you get to the Smart, Draymond, Lonzo tier. So I'm saying that in a way where hopefully I think me and you remember Schroeder from that playoff series, and he was great coming off the bench, playing 20 minutes a game. And I think his numbers, at least his per game numbers, look decent for the Hawks. But I think he's the type of guy where if you go from the 16 to 20 minute mark to the 30 to 32 minute mark, he just isn't someone who can play that extra usage. And he's scoring 22 points a game, but he's not doing it efficiently. You definitely don't want him to be the star on the team. So we'll see. I think he could be a little bit like Reggie Jackson used to be on that on that OKC team, and I think he really thrived in that role. And Jackson, someone else who, when given bigger responsibilities in Detroit, did not step up and meet those. So hopefully this is a role that's more fitting for Schroeder for what he can actually do.
Yeah, no, I think the basketball fit is definitely there more so for him. And it's funny you're saying how terrible he was shooting threes last year. Again, going back to my dubbing of him as fake Rondo, Rajon Rondo, also a player who struggled with 3-point shot in his career. Well, because see, they're just so similar, Rajon Rondo and.
Well, Schroeder's also probably going to get suspended. Schroeder's probably also getting suspended this year for his felony charge that he's facing from a fight outside a restaurant last fall. So, OKC has that going for them too, which is nice.
And I'm sure the nightclub life in Oklahoma City is not as abundant, enticing as it is in Atlanta for Mr. Schroeder. So maybe he'll be able to get his act together a little bit more out in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest.
Slightly different. Here's another fun fact for you. Guess which longtime OKC player finally retired this year?
Nick Collison.
Yes, good call. Why should we be saying Nick Collison's name and Carmelo Anthony's name in the same sentence, other than the fact that they both played for the Thunder last year?
I don't know.
2003.
They played each other in the 2003 national championship game. Right?
Yes. Yeah. And can you name other members? I'm going deep here. Sorry. Can you name other members of that Kansas team that lost to Melo's Syracuse team? And can you name another player?
Kirk Heinrich.
Yes. There's one more guy, but that's pretty good.
Oh, boy. Now, I can sit here forever. We'll have Mike Francesa dead air if I think about it. Give me the third one.
I think he's the big one. I think I was going to say Drew Gooden, but I think Gooden was the year before, actually. I don't think Gooden was on that runner-up team. But I know Gooden, Collison, and Heinrich all played together for that Kansas team. Any Syracuse teammates that you can remember with Melo?
Was Jerry McNamara on that team?
Yep, that's one of them.
Jerry McNamara and...
I'll give you another one.
Hakeem Warrick wasn't on that team, was he?
Yeah, yes, he was. Yeah, I think so.
Hakeem Warrick. Yeah, I was blanking for a second, but I finally got it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good recall. I remember that because that's the first time I picked I think Hughes in the Final Four. I don't know. For some reason, I got three out of the four Final Four teams and won a bunch of money that year, and that meant a lot junior year of high school. So vivid memories of that Final Four.
Can we talk about for a minute just how we're remembering and recollecting guys who played in the 2003 National Championship game? And here we are, like, how old are we now that we're talking about these guys that are either out of the league, retired, or should retire and are on their way out, like Carmelo Anthony?
I'm more concerned when players' kids start coming into the league, and we may have talked about this previously, but when you...
Shane Larkin, like playing basketball, yeah. Barry Larkin's kid, that's one.
Vladimir Guerrero, Jr.
Yeah.
I think I texted you the other day that Mark Leiter, who's Al Leiter's nephew and Mark Leiter's senior's kid, like all these names, you just do a double take when you see them.
Wait till D'Angelo Ortiz is putting balls in the bullpen at Fenway Park someday.
Or Bronny James is posted up at the Lakers backcourt.
Yeah, exactly.
Not too far off into the future. That's all kind of I had on my side. Any other NBA or other news kind of on your mind as you navigate 93 North?
Well, technically Route 1 North. Driving by the Fat Cactus Mexican Cantina, which I've never gone into in my life. Oh, actually, for Will, because it doesn't exist. It looks like it's gone, and Kelly Motors actually is parking all their cars out here.
Does Kelly Motors and Kelly
no,
Motors being shared?
No, I don't know. Sorry. I don't. Nice. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, it's been a lot jam packed into a few hours here. And you know, a few days, and I again, just NBA continuing to dominate the cycle. Like I said, something else is bound to happen, whether it be a trade, whether it be some kind of, you know, free agent signing that you don't see coming, maybe something at the last minute, Melo doesn't go to Houston and he ends up somewhere else and it changes the landscape of things a little bit. I don't know. Maybe there's a better fit basketball wise for him out there that, you know, he teams up with a team that, oh, we didn't see it coming, but I can see the basketball fit there. I think something like that's bound to happen. And then as I say this, I'll get home and pull in the driveway and he'll be a Houston Rocket. But hey, you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah. You never know. All right. Well, good talking through the NBA, and we'll stay tuned to these other updates coming through. And I think we still have a little bit of time before we go deeper on the Celtics preview, but always exciting to see some of these games happening around the league. I guess before we go, British Open pick. We'd love to hear your thoughts. I know I was on record on Twitter last night and felt pretty good about my pick of Jordan Spieth for 15 holes, and then he kind of imploded on the last three and finished plus one. Who are you liking for your ski this weekend?
I'm going to go Brooks Koepka and I know that's just keeping the streak going, following up on his strong U.S. Open. I think he's going to be near the top of that leaderboard. I've always been a Rory guy. I know he kind of, blew it there in the last day at the Masters, but he's always someone that's going to be, in the chat. So. We're going to go Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy, two names to see here as we come to Sunday.
Yeah, I think Koepka was plus one, if I remember, and I think Rory was minus one or minus two. So it's early, but we'll see. Are you going to set the alarm early on Saturday and Sunday and see if catch any of the final rounds? The time zone always throws me off trying to catch this golf super early in the morning.
There will be no alarm setting on Saturday and Sunday. I will watch it when I awake. I've had 5 a.m. alarms this week for work. So there will be no alarms on Saturday and Sunday. And then, but definitely we'll flip it on whenever I decide to wake up. I'll probably be awake at 7 a.m., but it'll feel so much better just that no alarm clock woke me up. So,
well, I wish you all the best in that endeavor.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Safe ride back.
I'll see ya.
See ya.